Well, if you would, let's go ahead and get into God's Word this morning. We are in the second week of our series, Come Alive. And Come Alive is about spiritual transformation within that radiates power and passion and expectation and peace and a happiness in our lives as we choose to walk, as we choose to live in Jesus Christ. Now, we know the scripture tells us that we are made alive in Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ, and he forgave all of your sins. Then we can go over to Romans chapter 6, verse number 10, and it says, when he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God, so you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I believe with all of my heart, church, that these scriptures, these truths are very much for each and every one of us here today who choose to believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. And perhaps if you're not, I pray today is the day. May there be salvation today in God's house. Amen. I want you to know we have been praying all week for individuals to be saved. Church family, so beautifully last week, you responded. You responded to the assistance I asked from you in bringing cards to the front of the church of lost family members and friends. And we have spent some time this week in the sanctuary praying over each and every single one. Over 730 names are in this little stack right here. 730 names. So I don't know if it'll happen here. I don't know where it'll happen, wherever these individuals may be. I pray in the name of Jesus, every single one of them, even the good friend Al that the individual put down said, he's just my good friend Al. I don't know his last name. So even the good friend Al, I pray in the name of Jesus, will be saved. Amen. May today be a day of salvation. Well, as we think about where we are at today, we go back to last Sunday, Palm Sunday, where we had the triumphal entry. Then on Monday, we know that's when Jesus went in and he cleansed the temple. On Tuesday, he was teaching. He was also being rejected. There were a lot of questions about his deity and about his authority. Then on Wednesday, we believe that's the time when he sat. He began to teach on the last days. On Thursday was the Last Supper, the washing of the disciples' feet. It's where he prayed in Gethsemane and when he was betrayed. On Friday was the trial and the crucifixion. On Saturday, the tomb sealed, Jesus taking care of business in the spiritual realm. And then on Sunday, today, was the resurrection. Thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, I want to take you on this Easter Sunday to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I'm going to read a few of the verses here. It says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But it says in verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And by grace, you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that any one of us may boast. For Coweta Assembly and everyone here, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Verse 11, because of all of this, Paul writes, therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself, he is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in a place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Specifically speaking here of the Gentile people, and those were everyone who were not the Jewish people. So he's speaking here of bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself. He is the very cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, in Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. There's a couple of things here I want to focus on this morning on this Easter Sunday as we read the writings of Paul to the church in Ephesus. And the first one is this. Paul, he talks about our life without Christ. Just in those first few verses. Church, every single one of us need to know this morning that we were spiritually dead without Christ as the Lord and Savior of our life. We were spiritually dead inside. We were all lost and we were without hope. Now, at one point, we may not have recognized it, but through the drawing and the leading of the Holy Spirit, we came to that place of humility where we knew and we realized that we needed a Savior. Can I tell you that every single person without Jesus Christ in their life, they are dead inside. They are dead spiritually. You know, for most of us, maybe perhaps all of us, we thought we were just fine as we walked in the ways of an unbelieving world. But in reality, we were wasting away from within. There's a lot of people in today's culture. There are a lot of people that will be in church today. There's a lot of angels every single day, every single week. They feel like they're just fine. Oh, yes, they feel the pressures of the world. Yes, they feel the anxieties. They have the real emotions that we all have. They have the ups of life, the downs of life, but they just go through life, and they feel like they're just fine. They feel like they treat their family well, their peers well, their coworkers well. They work hard. They try hard to make a good living, and they make good decisions. They know they're not perfect. They don't ever act like they're perfect, but they think that they're just fine. Can I tell you, that was all of us at one point in our lives. We thought we were just fine. But without Christ, we're not just fine. Without Christ, we're dead inside. And without Christ, we truly are wasting away with him. We're like a rotting corpse that's just decaying with each and passing day. And eventually, that's going to catch up with us. You see, what happens is in the world in which we live, many are so deceived by Satan, the prince of the power of the airways in which we live. We were disobedient to the real life that God desired from us. We were selfish. We won't like to admit that. Most people will not admit that. But can I tell you, we are a selfish culture. We are a selfish culture. Even more so today, we get in our little circles and we don't get outside of that circle too much. We get in our friends and we don't get out of that too much. And if we're not careful, we can really fall into that trap. But can I tell you, we are a selfish culture. And I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm just kind of telling you like it is. This is all of us. Without Christ, that's who we were, living for ourselves, following passions of our own desires without regard to the outcome in our life and the lives of others. Paul gets real specific here. Now, you know, in getting ready to say this, we're here on Easter Sunday and we're thinking, oh, here we go. Let's celebrate. Absolutely nothing negative. Well, I really don't want to talk about anything negative, but I got to talk to the fact that without Christ, this is how we once were. Without Christ, we were dead inside. So Paul hits it many times throughout his writings. Sexual immorality, impurities and lust and greed and addictions and dishonesty and anger and rage and hatred. And slander and gossip and filthy language. And I write it like this. In some form, in some manner, in all or in few, this is how you and I lived without Christ. And we don't have to cover that up and say, oh, that wasn't me at all. Can I tell you, on that list, and that's not an exhaustive list, that's just a list of some of the things that Paul writes about. Can I tell you that all of us have been in that type of life? At some point, at some time, we were living without Christ, and this is what our life looked like without him. In our last series, Paul spoke these same words in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 10. He speaks about it quite a bit. A simple way to put it, life was really all about us. Again, we loved our family. We loved our friends. We did good deeds. We could have easily been labeled as good and upright people. But deep within, If we'll really think about it, deep within, underneath all the layers of self-proclaimed righteousness that we were good people, we truly were lost and we were in desperate need of a Savior. Now, yes, this is who we were, the emphasis on the word were. Paul, who is a strong proponent of not glorifying or living in the past, he takes us back for only a brief moment in order for us to be able to see and able to focus on where we were and now who we are as we live our lives in Christ. Can I tell you today, church, and all of our guests, all of our friends that are with us, everyone here today, on this Easter Sunday, we can leave this place saying, you know what, that's who I was, but now I'm going to allow God to change me. Everyone today, why not today? Can we set aside any other preconceived idea that we had before we came to church today and just make this day about what it truly is? Make this season about what it truly is? Make this celebration about what it truly is? Jesus Christ being betrayed, being falsely accused, being put on trial, being beaten and mocked and whipped, hung upon a cross, made fun of, and then his body taken down, put into that tomb, the stone rolled in front of it, it was sealed. But on the third day today, that stone was rolled away and Christ came out of that grave. Christ came out of that grave for you and I. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated Satan. He defeated everything that would try to hold us back. All of that took place so you and I could have peace within our lives. That we can know Jesus, that we can know God the Father in an incredible way, so we wouldn't have to have someone else, another human being, a priest, go into the holiest of holies and make a sacrifice on our behalf. But Jesus did that so you and I could go to him at any moment, at any time, and be able to talk to him, communicate with him, pray, pour out our heart to him, know that he hears, know that he answers, and know that he cares and has an incredible compassion for you and I. That's what this day's about. Today's about victory. Today's about life. Today's about coming out of that dead life, that life where we were going nowhere, where we were just rotting away. Today's about coming alive. Maybe as a Christian, you're already alive, but there are other things in your life that need to come alive today, the power of the Holy Spirit within. Some of you come in here today and you're trying hard to smile because it's Easter and you're ready to hunt eggs and you're going to put on your best face, but on the inside, there's so much going on. Can I tell you, it's time for that inside to come alive. It's time for those broken homes to come alive. Those broken relationships to come alive. It's time for anything that's broken and dead in your life to come alive. Hey, we'll even speak over your finances. If your finances are dead, it's time for them to come alive. Amen? Because our Father God wants to reach down into your life. He wants you to come alive in who you are in him. And in doing so, you will find all the other areas of life beginning to breathe. Breathe in a powerful way. But I want you to know, and everyone, and I know the Christians here know this today, but perhaps not everyone here has accepted Christ. Every single one of us, including the pastor that's given the word right now, every single one of us, we're dead without Christ. And we needed forgiveness. We needed our Lord and our Savior to come inside and change us. Nobody in this place was born righteous. Come on, I should have got a bigger amen than that. Amen? Nobody was born just good and just everything was okay. The scripture says we were born sinners and we had to come to that place knowing Jesus Christ. And everyone here today can say, I'm going to leave this place changed. So now let's focus on the life with Christ. And that's what he does for the rest of the verses, verse 4 all the way through 22. I absolutely love verses 4 through 10. They're powerful and they're life-changing in every sense. Look again with me. It says, but God. This is who we were. But I have a good friend who loves that saying. He said, but God changed me. But God forgave me. But God has given me new life. But God being rich in mercy. But God being rich in mercy and the great love that he had for us. What does it say? He made us alive together with Christ. He raised us up with him. He seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's because of his grace that you and I have been saved. And every one of us need to hear this. It's not because of our own doing. Our salvation is a gift from our heavenly Father. And none of us can sit here and boast about how good we are, and that's why we're going to make heaven. It doesn't matter how good we are. What matters is how saved we are. And we're only saved in Jesus' name. Had an individual, it's been several weeks ago. Matter of fact, it was probably last year. He said, I haven't been in a church in years and years and years and years and years. Because I remember the pastor was preaching one time, and he said, good guys ain't going to make heaven. He said, good guys aren't going to make heaven. He goes, that really stuck with me. He goes, because I thought, well, man, I'm a pretty good guy. I said, well, you realize what he was saying was he wasn't saying there's anything wrong with being a good guy. I pray that we're all good people, right? And you can be good people and not know Jesus. There's a lot of good people that don't know Jesus. But the goodness of ourselves does not save us, right? And we don't probably ever say that out loud, and we probably don't ever really think it in such a manner. But the goodness of ourselves, I remember for years growing up in the church, this is what I'd hear from some of the dear saints. Well, I've never drank, I've never smoked, and I've never cussed. Glory to God. Well, I'm glad for that. I'm glad you're not an alcoholic. I'm glad you don't use profanity, I'm glad for that. But that doesn't save you just because you didn't do those things. And there's a whole lot of other things out there that I realize that we can do other than those things, right? We can gossip, we can slander, we can mock, we can talk about other people and do all that. There's a lot of other things that we could do. Our goodness doesn't change us and transform us from within. It was the work of the cross of Calvary. That's why I can sing my worship songs with a confident hope, because of the work that was done on the cross and because of our risen Lord and Savior. We don't sing our worship songs because we are good. We sing our worship songs because He is good, and He is righteous, and He is holy, and everything about Him makes us right. I love what those scriptures say. It's not the result of our works that any of us can boast. You see, we once were lost. We lived in such a manner, but now we are saved, and our life is being transformed day by day as we live in Christ Jesus. All of us were in a dark place, but now we're in a place where there's brightness and the glory of God shining within our lives. And I can tell you, on this Easter Sunday, what better day than to come out of the darkness and into the light? What better day to come out of the guilt that you're walking around in, the shame that you're walking around in, and any and every old identity that kind of keeps holding you back from living your life in Christ? What better day than Easter Sunday than to make the decision to say, I'm going to have Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of my life. Our resurrected identity in Christ, you see it there. Paul outlines it, verses 5, 6, and 10. We're made alive, we're raised up, and we are His masterpiece created in Christ with purpose to do His good works. That is speaking to every believer. Not just to the Apostle Paul, not to the other disciples and the apostles and men like Stephen and Timothy. He's talking about every single one of us. In Christ, family, in Christ, we have the resurrected power within to live for God every single day, to please Him and to accomplish all the good things that He wants to do inside of our lives. I know the scripture tells us, Pastor Cody made reference to it, once we believe in our hearts, once we confess with our mouths, and we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, can I tell you, we're saved, and He certainly doesn't just leave us alone to figure it out from there, but He works with us every single day. Philippians 2:13 says, for God is working in you, giving you desire and the power to do what pleases Him. That's who we become with and in Christ. I wrote down here, I don't know why I'm so focused on this morning, but I think sometimes even there are individuals that come on this day and they think to themselves, what's it going to be? And everything's going to be pointed at me. No, it's for every single one of us. And God is saying to all of us, we're not junk. We're not wasted goods. We're not a failure in any way. Yes, we may be sinners, but that doesn't have to stay that way, because in Christ we can be saved. We don't have to stay dead, but we can come alive in Christ. Being renewed and transformed from within as our spiritual being awakens with a passion, a desire to walk in the resurrection power of God, to live to please Him, to accomplish all He desires to do in our lives. We can do that if we'll just give Christ our lives. Life with Christ also means Christ lives within us. He doesn't just leave us alone. We don't say a prayer and then everything stays the same. when we truly accept Christ in our lives, the Holy Spirit is deposited within us, and then through that relationship, we begin to grow and we begin to learn. I got to tell you, and I hope someone can give testimony to this, to make this old farm boy from Muldrow feel a little bit better. When I accepted Jesus Christ, I still had a tremendous amount of growing to do in my life. Man, I mean, there was struggle after struggle. There were temptations. And I knew what the scripture said. Now, I didn't know as what I know now today, many, 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 many years later. But I understand, you know, I was saved. But boy, I still had all these struggles. All these temptations that I had to work through. Can I tell you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives you the ability to work through those. To overcome any addiction, to overcome any temptation, to overcome those failures. He knows that we need His help. That's why He has been given to us. Christ lives within us. That's one of Paul's primary themes of his writings. You know, two truths that we see in here is Christ in us as we continue on down that passage. In verses 11 through 18, it talks about that He is our peace. Now, Paul's readers, they really understood this. They understood the need for peace. Because like I said, it was really talking to the Gentiles and the Jewish people. Gentiles are all of us, are those that are not part of the nation of Israel. They didn't have the promised Messiah. The religious laws of the time, they placed a great distance between the Jews and the Gentiles. They were considered strangers. The Gentiles were a people without a hope. There were great hostilities between them. In the Jewish temple itself, there was a wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from the rest of the structure. And on that wall was a written warning that any Gentile who passed by or passed beyond it, they would be put to death. That's literally what would happen. Scripture says it clearly. The Gentiles, they were far from God. But in reality of the bigger picture, as he's talking about the Gentile and the Jewish people here at this time, the bigger picture is this, is Paul using this, yes, he's given the church instruction at the time, but using it for us today, he is declaring that all of us were far away from God. All of us were sinners. Yes, Jews and Gentiles, they were given this racial distinction, but not in their individual relationship with God, because he says all Jews, all Gentiles, all people, everywhere, all of us needed a Savior. Through sin, the Jews and the Gentiles alike had a hostility towards God, and they were separated in him. But Paul is telling them both. He's telling them both. He's telling all of us. But in Christ, all that hostility changed. All that separation changed. Not only did Christ break down the walls and bring peace between the Jews and the Gentiles by making them into one body, the church, he made peace with all of us sinners. He made peace with us in God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We can go on over into Romans chapter 10 and read in verse 11. It says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on every single individual who will call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Everyone here today that would call upon the name of the Lord, the peace of God can be planted inside of you. Everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, no matter what you brought into this church on this Easter Sunday morning, you can have that peace of Christ. You can have that salvation. You can sing that song, that worship song, in a whole new way as you come alive in Jesus. Every single one of us can call upon Jesus and allow him to do that work in our lives. For those of us that have, that ought to be the very reason why we jump to our feet and lift our hands and shout to our praises to the rooftop and say, thank you, Jesus, for helping me come alive. Church, there's nothing inside of me that wants to go back to my old way of life. There is nothing. And I got to tell you, sometimes I think people struggle with that. They look back and they look at different things and they start allow the things of this world and maybe just the stuff of this world to kind of want to creep back in. And they look at that and say, well, what was it without God? Can I tell you, if you're in that place, you need to be shaken up and stirred on the inside and you need that flame to come back alive. Because if that flame for Christ is burning passionately within you, there's nothing about you that wants to go back to a dead life of sin. Nothing. Christ makes us alive. He is our peace. But also in verses 19 through 22, Paul is talking here. He's our cornerstone. he concludes his teaching by picturing with all the believers themselves as the church, as a temple. Now, this is a fitting image not only for the Jews who revered their holy temple at Jerusalem, but also for the Gentiles there of Ephesus, because they had many great temples. You remember it was in Ephesus. They had the temple of Diana. They had all these structures. So they understood the illustration of the people becoming a temple. But he is saying you are becoming the temple of God. The apostles, the prophets, they've laid the foundation. They've presented the gospel. But all of it is built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And every single believer who calls upon his name and accepts him as the Lord and Savior of their life, they stand upon that cornerstone and they start to build upon that cornerstone. And can I tell you, everything that you build on Christ, it will stand. If you try to build anything in your life outside of Christ, the chances are eventually it's going to crumble. If you build your life on the peace that this world offers, it's going to crumble pretty quickly. If you build your life on your wealth and your material gain, well, it can be like the clippings of grass. The grass look good, and then you mow it, and it's gone. Fleeting, quickly. Maybe not for some, but can I tell you, your wealth will eventually crumble. It'll run out. Many people today put up their retirement years ago, but they're living a little bit longer, and that wealth is starting to run out, and they don't know what to do. Can I tell you, if you put all of your marbles on those type of things, it's eventually going to run out. But if you build on Christ, even in those tough moments, you're going to be standing strong. Unexpected sickness comes along, you're fine, you're standing strong. I got to tell you, I went Friday after we did Glenda Holmes' celebration service, and wow, what a beautiful celebration service we had together. Not too long after that, I get word that Ann is not doing well. She was diagnosed with ALS on Tuesday. I mean, we just seen her last week. I had individuals say, Pastor, we just saw her in Walmart the other day buying groceries. I think it's Denise, you were telling me that. You and Teddy saw her. Diagnosed with ALS on Tuesday. We get the call on Friday that she's only got a few hours. So I go over to the hospital. I don't know what to expect. I walk in and there's Debbie, her daughter, and her grandson, Clint. She's laying there in that hospital bed. She's just smiling. Sees me walk in. She reaches over to grab my hand. She can talk, but just barely. And she goes, hey, Pastor. And the first thing she knows, she says, she goes, I love you. And I said, I love you. She goes, I love my church. I said, we love you. She goes, I love my church family. I said, we love you. She goes, I want you to know. She goes, I'm ready. I'm ready. I was like, do you believe that this is time? She goes, I'm ready. She goes, I know where I'm going. She even said it. She goes, I'm going to be with Jesus on Easter. I mean, she spoke. There's no tears. She's got a smile. She's got a joy. She's radiating from that. I'm thinking in my side, she's getting ready to rise up and walk out of here, you know. That's how I felt. But she had such confidence, such hope. There was nothing about her that was dying other than her earthly tent. She wasn't fearful. She didn't have anxiety. She had an incredible peace. And I thought about, you talking about coming alive. Here's an individual. She's coming even more alive because she's getting ready to be rejoicing with her Lord and Savior in his very presence. I got to tell you, I was pretty encouraged with that. Pretty encouraged to see such life, to see such peace. That's a spirit that's alive inside. And that can be all of us. So the world can be heavy, right? I mean, I just saw late last night, I'm not sure the timing of when it happened, but on the news of the churches, and I haven't gotten all the details and the bombings and that took place. And of course, it's been a pretty traumatic week across the world, but it seems like every week is that way. Something traumatic. But even with all of that, we can have this peace because we have our risen Lord and Savior leading the way. That resurrection power living inside of us. What a privilege. What an awesome act of grace shown towards you and I to have his resurrection power dwelling inside of us. As I get ready to pray, everything we've spoken of this morning, even the songs that we have sang, every promise, every sense of peace, every sense of spiritual awakening, every sense of being renewed and transformed, everything that you feel or you've heard in the words that are spoken, all of it is possible because of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And church, the one thing that I have to remind you of on this Easter Sunday morning is when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that resurrection power that brought our Lord and Savior back from the grave, that tomb that was rolled away, he came out of that. That resurrection power, it's a pretty glorious thought, right? That awesome resurrection power lives inside of every single believer. That's a pretty amazing thought.